All right. Welcome to Building the Athlete. I'm your host, Scott Benson, owner of Benson Sports Training, an online coaching company. You can find us at bensonsportstraining.com or on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. Today's guest, Dr. Nate Zinser. Nate, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, Scott. It's a cold and beginning to snow day up here in my neck of the woods, but I'm delighted to be on with you.
Okay. Yeah, we went from 60 degrees to -5 in a week's time. So I hear you. I don't know if I'm ready for that. From now on, I'm going to be referring to you as Dr. Z. Dr. Z, please give us some background and introduce yourself.
Certainly. Good day, everyone. I am Dr. Nate Zinser. I am a PhD in sports psychology. I consider myself a sports psychology expert. I am not a clinical psychologist. I don't have a license to practice psychology. I'm very clear that I am a coach with a sports science background, and my coaching specialty is in the psychology of training and competing. For 30 years, I was the director of an applied sports psychology program at the U.S. Military Academy, West Point. I was heading up a program designed to help cadets, the future leaders of the Army and the future leaders of the nation, understand how to be confident despite the setbacks that are inevitable, to be focused despite the distractions that are inevitable, and to be composed despite the reality of considerable stress in our modern world. I have been very fortunate to be in that position for 3 decades. And I have also developed a practice on the side with professional athletes. And since the release of my book, The Confident Mind, in 22, that practice has expanded to venture capitalists, cardiac surgeons, professional musicians, professional axe throwers. Yes, there is such a thing. So the demand and interest in my work has really blossomed. And I'm delighted to have this opportunity to share some time with you today.
Founded in 2004, BBS Radio TV stands as a trailblazer in remotely engineered live radio broadcasts over the Internet. We ignited the new media revolution, offering a powerful platform for vital voices and alternative perspectives that mainstream media often silences. Our live broadcasts stream on over 200 of the world's largest Internet broadcast stations, with on-demand syndication across all major social networks. Visionary entrepreneurs Douglas and Donald Newsom have crafted over 100,000 radio and web TV episodes for more than 1,000 satisfied clients. Experience the pinnacle of web radio and TV engineering. Compare our unbeatable prices, exceptional services, and comprehensive offerings with any other professional provider, and you'll see why we're unparalleled in the industry. Call us at 1-800-338-4393. At Benson Sports Training, we build athletes of every age, every level, and every goal. Whether you're chasing your first medal, a college scholarship, or just a healthier you, our expert online coaching programs will help you perform at your best. Train smarter, move better, achieve more. Enter 15OFF in the discount code at checkout for 15% off your first month. Visit BensonSportsTraining.com for more information. Where champions are built every day. BensonSportsTraining.com.
BBS Radio TV. If it's not mainstream, it's on BBS Radio TV. A place for answers.
Yeah, and I think when I reached out to you, I kind of had commented on, you've been a big part of my business. And I can't tell you, I've probably handed out 2 or 3 dozen of your books, referred lots of people to get it and listen to it because I relate to it so much. And I love how you structure everything as far as, you know, building a positive mindset. And we'll talk about that and get into that a little bit more. And I think I've kind of got it narrowed down to why I relate so well with it. So I'll tell you a story here in a little bit. But when you were being inspired to write The Confident Mind, was there a certain situation or athlete or person that you saw the need for that, and that's what prompted you to write that, or was it just from all of your dealings in general?
It was more so the latter. There wasn't a single individual or single experience that said, hey, I really need to put this into a format that everybody can access. It was more the number of people who came to my office year after year after year saying, gosh, I just don't seem to have any confidence anymore. It was in almost every case, this particular individual had a lot of reasons to be confident in him or herself. They just didn't know how to use those experiences properly. So that was the genesis for the book.
Okay. And you had kind of, you'd mentioned in your introduction, it's grown to where it's not high-level athletes or the military people that you were working with. Now you have, I mean, is it fair to say from every walk of life you have clients?
It is fair to say from every walk of life, doctors, lawyers, salespeople, managers, startup CEOs, entrepreneurs, musicians, and athletes in every sport imaginable.
Yeah. And I, you know, obviously my world is sports and working with athletes, but my philosophy is sports prepares you for life. I mean, it's awesome when I get to work with an NFL player, Major League Baseball player, an Olympian, but that's very rare. You know, in the thousands and thousands of athletes that I've worked with, that comes along a very low percentage of the time. So my philosophy is that we're getting ready for life, and that I really feel like, you know, my experience in sports as an athlete really developed me to handle adversity of life and things that we run into as adults and professionals. But you know, the fact that you have all these different occupations coming to you, these high performers, that kind of speaks that, are we all feeling the same stresses when we're trying to perform, no matter what it is?
I think that's largely the case. I quoted in my book the Hall of Fame football player Michael Strahan when he said, the thing that haunts all athletes is self-doubt. Well, yeah. For an athlete, whether you're a little league baseball player or a major leaguer, there are going to be episodes of self-doubt. It will erode your ability to take in information, process information, and then execute on your processed information. Self-doubt will do that. And the self-doubt is not limited to what we typically think of as athletic situations. The surgeon, the salesperson, the musician, the dancer, they're just like the baseball player or the major or the NFL Hall of Fame football player. They can be haunted by self-doubt. It's curious, just as an aside, Scott, the word athlete is derived from two Greek roots, athlon, meaning contest, from which we get decathlon, pentathlon, etc., and ethlos, meaning prize. An athlete, by definition, is one who contends for a prize. That prize can be a Super Bowl ring or the World Championship trophy or the Olympic gold medal. But the prize can also be financial security for one's family, the delivery of quality health care, the sophistication of bringing a needed technological innovation to market. Those are prizes. I work with a lot of firefighters and military personnel still. Well, they're out there trying to save lives and save property. That's the prize that they are striving for. So in a very important sense, they are athletes, just as...
Yeah, that makes sense. So from a mental, physiological, and emotional standpoint, does the body know any difference between playing for a Super Bowl, performing life-saving surgery, or closing a multi-million dollar deal? Does the body react the same?
The body might react differently, just in terms of, you know, the physical demands of running a marathon versus performing a very delicate neurosurgical procedure. The body will respond a little bit differently. I think it's what's really interesting is how the body doesn't necessarily know the difference between a training run and the marathon race. All the body knows is that there's a demand for oxygenated blood. The body does not know that this race kind of matters to me because it's what I've been training for, or I've set my goal to run a certain time in this marathon, and I'll be disappointed if I don't achieve that time. The body doesn't know that, you know? The body doesn't know that the tennis player is in the Wimbledon final as opposed to just hitting in the backyard with some pals. Now, your mind knows that. And you better get your mind tweaked and adjusted properly so that it's helping you when you're playing in the Wimbledon final, as opposed to interfering with your ability to see the ball and move your feet and hit the ball when you're in the Wimbledon final.
So you've worked with all these high-level performers and different occupations. What is the constant that you see in mindset with high performers?
The constant that I see is, I guess you could call it in general, a combination of self-doubt about one's capacity and fear of disappointing oneself, disappointing one's coaches, disappointing one's team. It's that constellation of worrisome thoughts that is constant across pretty much every performance endeavor.
Okay. What's an important lesson that you've learned working with these performers? Yeah. Are there things that you take away and apply in your own life?
Without a doubt, I'm trying to practice what I preach, most certainly. And I'm trying to be as cool under the pressures of my life as I would want an NFL quarterback or an NBA point guard to be under the pressures of their lives. One thing that I have really, really noticed in the past couple of years, where I've been spending more time with a greater range of clients, is that no matter how successful you are, there's still going to be a little doubt, a little fear, a little worry. It is wired into our biology to be looking over our shoulders a little bit. It's a survival enhancement that is built into us through our hundreds of thousands of years of living as technologically primitive hunter-gatherers. We had to keep our head on a swivel to find the drinkable water, to find the sheltered valley, to find the tracks that were going to lead to the meat that we needed to get us through the winter. We had to be somewhat concerned about our future because we're kind of underdeveloped physically. We don't have fangs. We don't have claws. That physical, biological tendency to worry a little bit has been built and supported and blown way out of proportion in our social and cultural lives, okay? We have been taught from a young age to be careful about yourself, to consider all the ramifications of failure and disappointment. And so we've become a little hypersensitive about that. And even very successful people still find themselves occasionally waking up in the middle of the night fearing, you know, wondering if their business venture is going to go down in flames, if they are going to make the team that they've been training for. It's inevitable that you're going to have that. And the fact that you have that does not mean that you cannot be a confident and productive individual. It just means that you've got to recognize those moments and have a strategy and a response in your back pocket to deal with them. And if you would do a better job dealing with them than your competitors and your opponents, and this is what I tell people, if you do a better job adjusting and acknowledging and working through those moments of self-doubt than your competitors and your opponents, well, then you have an advantage over them. Seek that advantage and use it. They're worried about themselves too. Don't think they've got it all together. You just do a really good job of staying in control of your thoughts and your emotions. That will positively affect your performance in the operating room or on the court or on the field or in the pool or on the mat. Just don't let any of those performance results change the way you use your mind and your emotions. You got to be that's what mental discipline really is.
Yeah. So, and I deal with this a lot with younger athletes and older ones, I guess I should say, but the anxiety and the butterflies, as we call it, they're going to be there. If they're not there, I'd be more concerned if they weren't there than having them there. I think number one, it's an indication that you care about what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can take that first step and we can get the athlete to just accept that we know it's going to be there, it's okay, it's a good thing. What is a good way for a young athlete to process that and to take steps to prepare to move through that part of it?
Okay. Well, you're exactly right that it's going to happen, and it's going to happen because we care about what we're doing. The reality is that the human being is designed, again, biologically through evolution or divine intervention. I don't know how we got here, but this is what we've got. We are designed to experience a biochemical shift when we are about to engage in something that matters to us. Now, it can matter because what we want to do, we want to play in that ball game. We want to get out there and do well. It can also matter to us because it's something that we have to do, like take an exam or take the scholastic aptitude test, take an entrance exam, go to a job interview. We have to do this, okay? We probably prefer not to, but we have to. So when we are in a situation, when we're about to do something that matters, our bodies are going to go through a biological shift. We're going to have adrenaline and a lot of other chemicals automatically, unconsciously pumped into our bloodstream, and that's going to make our heart beat faster, and it's going to make our muscles twitch a little bit, and it's going to make our stomach rumble because there are a whole lot of nerve endings in our stomach that are going to get switched on by the anticipation of the event that's upcoming. We just got to teach kids that when you're feeling the stomach or the heart or the twitchiness, that just means your body has been elevated to an enhanced biochemical state. You now have, and I was explaining this to a young athlete just yesterday, in that moment, you have a state-of-the-art performance-enhancing chemical custom-made for you, moving through your body in the precise necessary dosage at the right time so that you can become a stronger, faster, more perceptive, more reactive human being. And this performance-enhancing drug doesn't cost you anything, and it's legal. You won't get in trouble for using it, okay? So the fact that you feel the butterflies means that you've got some rocket fuel happening. So your job as an athlete is to feel this and go, yeah, good. I'm getting ready to play great. I'm getting ready to be an enhanced version of myself. It's kind of like a superpower. And that's how I encourage people to look at it. Whether you're a 10-year-old little leaguer or a 70-year-old still running 10Ks or half marathons.
That's awesome. Performance-enhancing rocket fuel. And I do think, you know, that needs to be something that's given to young kids at a young age so they know that this is good. This is a good thing, not a bad thing.
Yeah. The word nervous and nervousness pretty much has a negative connotation. I'm nervous. That means I don't feel good. I don't like it. Okay. Well, nervous can simply also mean that your nervous system is a little more active, which is exactly what is happening. So you can look at nervous in one of two ways. You know, I'm sort of uncomfortably apprehensive, or I'm pumped up. I've had several athletes in discussing this say, no, I don't get nervous. I get excited. It's the same thing. It's just a different label. Yeah. I'm excited. I feel this energy surge. I feel this biochemical shift, and it's neat. I like it. Oh boy, here we go. As opposed to, I'm feeling this energy surge and it's making my body feel a little abnormal and I kind of don't like it. So I'm nervous. Okay. And people say, oh, don't be nervous. Don't be nervous. Don't be nervous. No, hey, be nervous. Just understand that it's actually rocket fuel and you can be excited. Happy, turned on about what your body is doing. And trust me, as soon as you get in the game and you get that first pitch or that first touch on the ball, those symptoms pretty much go away, you know?
Yeah.
And you'll be good for most of the game. Maybe late in the game, it's a big moment, you know, some of it might come back. But then again, that's just your body giving you another little dose of that rocket fuel right when it can do you the most good. It's pretty cool that your body does that.
That's awesome. When I was coaching, you know, one of the hardest things to mentally approach for track athletes is running the 400 and going out hard in the first 200 because you know what's waiting for you.
Yes.
And the anxiety that causes athletes. I was just working with one of my, she's a Division I 400 meter runner, and she was back for Thanksgiving and we were working together, and she's still talking about that anxiety. And what I would always talk to my athletes about is make it an object. You know it's going to be there when you get to 200 meters or 300 meters. So that fear, you know it's going to be there. So find a way to make it your friend or
yeah.
name it, give it a name and give, say, hey,
give,
you know,
give it
what's
a name,
up?
Give it a name, give it a shape, give it a color, give it an identity, objectify it.
Right. Let's go. You're here. Let's go.
Take it out of the darkness, you know?
Yeah. So I seem to have a lot of luck with that, with athletes. And, but I really like, you know, not nervous, excited.
Yeah.
Let's put a positive spin on it. And I just think, you know, so many young kids could benefit from that.
Founded in 2004, BBS Radio TV stands as a trailblazer in remotely engineered live radio broadcasts over the internet. We ignited the new media revolution, offering a powerful platform for vital voices and alternative perspectives that mainstream media often silences. Our live broadcasts stream on over 200 of the world's largest internet broadcast stations, with on-demand syndication across all major social networks. Visionary entrepreneurs Douglas and Donald Newsom have crafted over 100,000 radio and web TV episodes for more than 1,000 satisfied clients. Experience the pinnacle of web radio and TV engineering. Compare our unbeatable prices, exceptional services, and comprehensive offerings with any other professional provider, and you'll see why we're unparalleled in the industry. Call us at 1-800-338-4393. At Benson Sports Training, we build athletes of every age, every level, and every goal. Whether you're chasing your first medal, a college scholarship, or just a healthier you, our expert online coaching programs will help you perform at your best. Train smarter, move better, achieve more. Enter 15OFF in the discount code at checkout for 15% off your first month. Visit BensonSportsTraining.com for more information. Where champions are built every day. BensonSportsTraining.com.
BBS Radio TV. If it's not mainstream, it's on BBS Radio TV. A place for answers.
One thing I really want to talk to you about and spend some time on, and this is why I think I related to your book so well, is the talk about visualization. And I can quickly tell you why I relate to it so much. I was coming out of high school as a high-level high jumper. I was number two in the United States, Olympic aspirations, got to college, and they said, we feel like you can be, you know, one of the best out there, but we need to change this, this, and this. Well, as an 18-year-old kid, absolutely, let's go. I'll do whatever. Well, they changed everything to the point where I never, not once in college, did I ever feel comfortable. I never felt smooth or the easiness I felt with it in high school. But man, I was really competitive and I really, really wanted to succeed. And at the time we had a sports psychologist that taught me visualization. And I used that so much. And I swear, the skill set I had in college was awful. I was incredibly athletic, but I was so determined to succeed. And I would, before every competition, I would lock myself away, detach, and just visualize the entire competition to the point where I was standing on the award stand at the end. Mm-hmm. And I won so many meets that I had no business winning, just because I really talked myself into winning them. And I think that's what I related to so well with you. And I'd love to spend some time on just the neurological component to that and the physiological effect of visualization. I love the cutting up the lemon, talking about that. And I've used that so many times, and, you know, the saliva glands start to work just imagining it. So from an athlete's perspective, you're performing mental reps. Can you talk about the physiological effect of the mental side of it?
Certainly. To a very significant extent, Scott, the human nervous system can't distinguish between an actually experience and a vividly imagined experience. You mentioned the lemon exercise. If one vividly imagines taking a bite out of a lemon, there's going to be an automatic, unconscious, salivary response because the image, the representation in terms of a picture in the mind's eye, a remembered taste of a lemon, all of those stimuli are going to combine and they're going to communicate to the parts of the brain that tell the salivary glands, hey, get to work. There's something coming into the mouth right now. Produce the saliva because we're going to need to digest that stuff that's coming into the mouth, even though there's nothing coming into the mouth. Parts of the nervous system can't distinguish between a vividly imagined experience and an actual experience. Everyone has also experienced this in terms of a frightening dream that they wake up from, and they can feel the heart beating fast, and the fists are clenched, and maybe you're even sweaty. Okay, because in your dream, you had to run or fight or do something physically demanding. So your brain turned on a lot of the same mechanisms that it would turn on if you actually did have to run or fight or were encountering something very scary. All of us athletes in every walk of life can take advantage of this principle, and so that we can literally get our body into the state that we want it to be in when we are running, swimming, wrestling, selling, performing that piano concerto on stage. If we vividly imagine and using as many senses as possible, see what I am going to see when I'm there. I'm hearing the environment. I'm feeling my feet on the floor or the turf or the court. I'm feeling the little bit of sweat from the warm-up trickling down my chin. I am feeling the anticipation, the excitement that comes before, that I typically experience before an actual event. If I can use all my senses to create an experience that I want to have, you're literally doing some rewiring in your brain. You're connecting neurons that control movement activity, and for a well-learned skill, a golf swing, coming out of the blocks, you know, as a sprinter, or even feeling that final push in the last 80 meters of the 400-meter race, all of those activities are governed by chains of nervous system activity. When we vividly imagine them, we rehearse those chains. Electrical impulses travel down those neural networks. So we're actually refining and building skill simply by imagining the performance that we want to have. Now, we have to get out there and physically practice because our muscles need to work, but our muscles are guided by our nervous system, and our nervous system can be trained by this kind of quality visualization or envisioning practice. I hope that was a sufficient and succinct enough explanation.
Yes, yes, definitely. I really want to kind of hammer this point home to people listening. So when I coached, I would, right before the state track meet, we would have an hour-long practice, and that's what we would do the entire practice. I would do it with the team. Mm-hmm. And I would have them go through their events. I would have them imagine their warm-ups, event, competing, finishing, being on the award stand. And then we'd get done and I'd ask them, what did it smell like? What socks did you have on?
Mm-hmm.
And really start to hammer down on the detail of it. Does that make a difference? The more detail you put into the imagery, does it have more of a neurological response?
Oh, absolutely. The more detail you could put into it, the more sensory detail, clearer, sharper pictures, clearer, sharper sounds, a variety of sensory experience in term, including your kinesthetic sense. Where is my body in space? Okay. My proprioception. Where's my body? How is my body moving? And my emotional state. Am I eager? Am I worried? Am I excited to be there? Can I pretend that I'm experiencing these things? Can I, the more detail that I can exert into it, the more of those neural pathways I'm accessing and refining. Imagery and visualization really don't have much of an impact if it's just sort of a casual thing. I think that's how it'll look like, yeah. And that's how, yeah, that's how we're going to run this play. No, if I'm a quarterback and I'm envisioning what we're going to do on third and long when we're in the red zone on Sunday against this particular defense, man, I've got to be really getting into it. Okay, we're going to be in this stadium, and we're driving towards this end zone, and that's what it looks like in the distance, okay? And the ball's on the 18-yard line, and it's third and 10, okay? And my offensive coordinator gives me this call, and I'm coming to the line or setting up in the shotgun, and I'm seeing the defense. I'm seeing the jerseys that I anticipate them to be wearing. I can see my guys in front of me in our outfits that we're probably going to be playing in. I can hear the crowd. I can feel my feet on the turf. I can hear my voice given the snap count, and I can feel that ball in my hand and feel my body move as I make the play that I want to make, as detailed as possible. I did this for decades at West Point with many of our athletes. We had these wonderful ergonomic recliners with stereo speakers built in to the interior walls. And your feet are up on a stool and you're lying back here. It's very quiet and private. And we would do a relaxation exercise to settle down. And then I would play in some of the warm-up music. And then I'd put on crowd noise in the background. And I would be literally reading off a play sheet from the coaches. Blue spread, right, 69 on 2, you know? And I would be guiding. Okay, see the field, see the defense, take your position, execute. And we would guide people right through that. One extraordinary example of that is a track application. The first sub-4-minute mile at West Point was run by a guy named Dan Brown, who went on to compete in the Olympics in the 10,000 and the marathon in the Sydney Olympics. He was the first West Point cadet to run a sub-4-minute mile. And we got to the point where he could visualize every stride in that 3 minutes and 58 seconds. And we got it right down to a pinpointed 3:58 imagery on Thursday. And on Saturday, he went out and ran the exact same time. And we set it up because we knew exactly where, exactly how, what time of day it was going to start, how the warm-up would go. We really laid the stage. It was so clear in his mind that when he got to the starting line, it just felt natural and automatic. Not that it was easy to press through that final 200 meters of the mile, but it was well within his control, as opposed to, geez, I don't know if I can do this. No, I've done it before. I've done it to the point where my whole nervous system believes that it's already been done. So it's a heck of a lot more comfortable when you get to that level.
Founded in 2004, BBS Radio TV stands as a trailblazer in remotely engineered live radio broadcasts over the internet. We ignited the new media revolution, offering a powerful platform for vital voices and alternative perspectives that mainstream media often silences. Our live broadcasts stream on over 200 of the world's largest internet broadcast stations, with on-demand syndication across all major social networks. Visionary entrepreneurs Douglas and Donald Newsom have crafted over 100,000 radio and web TV episodes for more than 1,000 satisfied clients. Experience the pinnacle of web radio and TV engineering. Compare our unbeatable prices, exceptional services, and comprehensive offerings with any other professional provider, and you'll see why we're unparalleled in the industry. Call us at 1-800-338-4393. At Benson Sports Training, we build athletes of every age, every level, and every goal. Whether you're chasing your first medal, a college scholarship, or just a healthier you, our expert online coaching programs will help you perform at your best. Train smarter, move better, achieve more. Enter 15OFF in the discount code at checkout for 15% off your first month. Visit BensonSportsTraining.com for more information. Where champions are built every day. BensonSportsTraining.com.
BBS Radio TV. If it's not mainstream, it's on BBS Radio TV. a place for answers.
So the details is where it's at for the young athletes or whatever athletes that want to use the visualization, detail, detail, detail. One thing that I really used a lot of, you know, with the visualization was self-talk. I would not allow anything negative to come in. And I would just constantly, like I said, I would convince myself that I was going to win a competition and until I absolutely believed it. One really cool thing that I saw, and I'd like to get your comment on it. A long time ago, my coach in college, he owned Championship Video, which is a large distribution company of instructional videos with coaches. And Tom Tellez, who was a high-end coach back in the 80s and mm-hmm. coached Carl Lewis to, you know, 9-time Olympic gold medalist. He was doing a talk and he used me for a volunteer, had me come up in front of a room, put my arms straight out and had everybody in the audience say all kinds of negative things about me, including himself standing behind me. And then he asked me to hold my arms out and then resist. And my arms went right down. And then he reversed it and he started saying all kinds of nice things about me, all kinds of uplifting, positive things, had me do the same thing, couldn't move my arms. I always remembered that. And I've used that as well in demonstrations. But explain what's going on with something like that.
The emotional state that you are putting yourself into as a result of the self-talk and the external chatter, that emotional state is communicating to your musculature. Okay. It's communicating a message of weakness or a message of strength, whichever message the muscles are receiving through your emotions, which is driven by how you're thinking, what you're telling yourself. That chain leads to measurable changes in the actual muscle function. So if I can talk to myself optimistically and get myself to a positive emotional state. Yeah, I can do this. Not, well, I'm telling myself I can do it, but I really don't think I can. I mean, that's where the details are really important. But if I can get myself to that emotional state, I am helping my body. I am going to maximize the right muscle tension. I'm going to get blood to the right places. I'm going to open up my pupils. I'm literally changing the hormonal state that's at work in my body. I'm creating the pain-reducing neuroreceptors as opposed to the pain-accepting neuroreceptors. I'm changing my biochemistry by virtue of my emotions, which is driven by how I think. So anyone can experience that with the muscle testing. I challenge anybody to go ahead, go on a run. Go on your standard 2-3 mile run and maintain a steady stream of encouragement as if your very best friend was right there on your shoulder, talking in your ear all throughout, you know, hang tough. You can hold this pace. This is easy for you. You're ready for this. You can do this. Good for you. That was a great surge there. Okay. I challenge anybody to do that and not have the experience of, wow, I ran pretty far, pretty fast. I did better than I thought I would. And if you really want a comparison, go ahead and do the other one and have the nastiest person in your personal memory right there on your shoulder talking to you as you do that same run. What a jerk you are. Who the heck do you think you are? You're really not very well suited for this. You will find your body reacting differently. You know? I used to introduce this process of training to cadets at West Point. Again, in those ergonomic recliners with a heart rate monitor. And I would simply ask them, go ahead and imagine that you're in a perfectly comfortable hot tub. Feel the comfortable warmth and just sink back in there. Eye out a little bit of relief and ease. And you see their heart settling into this beautiful, smooth rhythm as you inhale and exhale. And then I'll say, okay, I want you to imagine you're back in high school. I want you to think about that one teacher or that one assistant principal who was always stalking the halls looking for somebody stepping out of line. And you always knew that just the minute you saw that guy, you were going to be going, oh, geez, here it is again. Imagine that person. and that nice, smooth, gentle heart rhythm starts going crazy. It's just the fact that our minds and our bodies are so intimately connected. If you want to get the best out of your body, please use your mind effectively.
You've said multiple times you've talked about emotional. Is there a difference between being mentally strong and emotionally strong?
Oh, now that, Scott, is a great question and a very important question. Is there a difference? Yes and no. I think when most people use the term mentally strong, they include the emotional dimension within it, okay? But I think it's very important, and I stress this a lot in my training, that what we're trying to do with your cognitions, your thoughts, what you remember from your past, what you tell yourself about yourself in the present, and what you visualize about your future, those thoughts create various emotional states. So the link is so tight. It's difficult to separate them entirely. But you've got to understand, I ask athletes and performers all the time, how do you want to feel? How do you want to feel giving the presentation, stepping out onto the field? How do you want to feel in this particular game situation? What's the emotion that you want to have? What thoughts are important to create that emotion? So in a way, they're distinct, but in a way, they're really, really intimately connected. I think you've got to discipline your thought process so that you achieve a helpful, constructive emotional state.
You bring up the word discipline.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you hear a lot of athletes that talk about being motivated. I'm motivated to do this. And they set goals of, I want to win this. I want to accomplish this. I want this for a PR.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a result of a process.
Right. That's an outcome. Yeah.
Right. An outcome. And so I've always been very much, in the camp of process based. Let's talk about, what can you do today to focus in on to get better? Where I think in our society, I think we're too outcome focused. Motivation is awesome. I can watch a Rocky movie and get really motivated to go do something, but that's going to fade after, an hour or a week. And can we talk just about discipline? How discipline keeps you tied into that process, moving towards that outcome?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Like the word nervous and nervousness, discipline can have kind of a negative connotation, meaning I have to be sort of strict and almost angry toward myself in order to do the workouts, observe the diet, etc., etc., etc. I've got to be strict and very demanding of myself. And there's a kernel of truth in that, but you got to be careful that you don't take it too far. I love the comparison of the term self-discipline with the term self-love. Do you love yourself enough to do the right things that are going to help you? Do you love yourself? Okay. Do you love yourself enough to know that, if I eat that food, it's not going to help me as much as eating that food. Okay. Do I love the idea of being a state champ, national champ, Olympic team member, Olympic gold medal? Do I love that to the point where it can propel me to take the proper actions? Okay, that's the outcome I want. But am I willing to be in love with the process of getting there? Okay, doing the work, observing the diet, managing my cognitions and my emotions. Am I in love with that process enough? Can I be disciplined to do that? I ask people this question all the time, and it's based upon from my graduate school mentor, Dr. Bob Rotella. And the question is simply this: is the quality of your thinking consistent with the quality of performance that you want to have? Does the quality of your thinking help you in the clutch? And if not, are you willing to change it? To me, that's the essence of discipline. Is the quality of your thinking, can you discipline your thinking so that it is consistent with the outcomes that you want and with the things that you have to do in order to achieve those outcomes? To me, that discipline breaks down to something as simple as that. It's got almost nothing to do with the willingness to drag your butt out of bed at 5 o'clock in the morning and do a workout. That's more like obedience. You can get your dog to do that, okay? But you can't get your dog to think in a disciplined manner. doesn't have the freedom of thought, doesn't have the free will, doesn't have the gray matter, the brain structures that allow for that. So use what your human existence has given you, the ability to choose your attitude, choose your quality of thoughts, regardless of circumstance. That is real discipline, as I understand it.
Okay. Are you, and I think you had said, you know, the comment about, you know, do you love yourself? Is it important enough to you? Are we kind of talking a little bit about intrinsic value then, where, because I think a lot of athletes do not have that. They out there because mom and dad want them to be out there. Their buddies are out there. They
and
don't.
And their sense of personal value is contingent upon the quality of their last race or their last game. How they feel about themselves is very inconsistent, and it's completely dependent upon outcomes. They don't have an intrinsic sense of, yeah, I'm a valuable human being. I love to run, or I love to play baseball, or I love to play hockey, or I love to operate on anterior cruciate ligaments, okay? But my value as a human being is independent of how well I do those things. And that is a big, big, big step towards real, not just self-confidence, but self-esteem. Those two things are connected, and it's really important. That term, intrinsic value, do you feel good about yourself pretty much independently of your last results? There's so many athletes that get hung up with that. They almost are unable to talk about themselves without referring to their athletic identity. No, come on. Talk to me about yourself outside of the world of sport with no reference to this particular sport or this particular profession. Do you have a sense of yourself overall? That's hugely important because it takes a heck of a lot of pressure off you.
Right. Do you think, and maybe I'm speaking for myself, but I see a huge lack of intrinsic value in athletes of all ages. And I also see an epidemic of athletes that give up because, mm-hmm. well, you know, I'm a junior now and the position I play, the person starting's a junior. And rather than going to work and figuring out a way, I'm just going to quit. And I think that's a horrible frame of mind to get into because that's certainly going to carry over into life. But do you think that that's related to not having that intrinsic value?
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. I haven't gotten the validation for myself through performance results or lineup decisions. I have needed that external validation in order to stay with the sport. And that's a really unfortunate process. That's a really ineffective way to motivate oneself. That's not a great source of energy. Your energy ought to come from the joy of being involved in the sport as much as you can. And the joy of figuring out how you are going to crack that lineup if you're the number two or number three person on a depth chart. Okay, what can I do? What do I need to learn? Okay, I'm valuable enough just in my life as it is, but I can enhance my life by getting bigger, stronger, faster, more skilled, et cetera, et cetera.
And learn some good habits in the process.
Exactly. There's a famous quote at West Point. It's on a plaque outside the gymnasium. It's a quote from one of West Point's more famous graduates, Douglas MacArthur, who was an important general in the Second World War and who also was the superintendent of West Point in later years. And the quote reads, "On the fields of friendly strife are sown the seeds that on other fields will bear the fruits of victory." Douglas MacArthur really felt that the participation in organized athletics was really teaching cadets lessons that they could draw upon if they happened to get in the fields of not very friendly strife, actual combat, you know, following a plan, enduring a little bit of physical discomfort, okay, communicating with teammates under a time constraint, and indeed thinking optimistically about what you're about to do and what result it will have. These are things that sports teaches us, and these things help us in all walks of life because wherever we go, whatever we end up doing with ourselves, there are going to be complicating factors. There is going to be negative self-talk and self-doubt. Sports is a wonderful way to learn how to deal with all that and come out on top of it.
I certainly celebrate all the high-level athletes that I've trained, but I certainly remember everyone that could have done something and they quit because they just didn't see the path or they didn't have that intrinsic value, and those kind of haunt me. So,
BBS Radio TV. If it's not mainstream, it's on BBS Radio TV, a place for answers.
What do you think the number one thing is that coaches and parents are doing these days that are breaking the confidence of young athletes?
I think they are treating their young athletes differently when they win versus when they lose. There's a heck of a lot of congratulations during the after the wins. And there is, I'm not going to say necessarily anger or criticism directed after the losses, but there isn't the same degree of unconditional support in those two experiences. And what a mom's got to do, what a dad's got to do, is tell a kid, gosh, I just loved watching you play. And you really don't even talk about the result. You know, if you're going to mention something specific, you say, wow, you did something really nice in the third inning or whatever. I love the way you fielded that grounder. You have to reach way out for it, but you got your feet underneath you and you made a nice throw to first base. That was great, son. Just leave it at that. You know, even if it was a losing effort, you know, even if the kid committed an error two innings later, I wouldn't rub his face in that. He knows you don't have to do that. So the provision of unconditional support, regardless of outcome, is really something that everybody involved in youth sport has got to be aware of.
We could probably open up a whole nother hour talking about where that anger comes from with parents.
You're not kidding.
Yeah.
I tell parents all the time, look, make sure that you separate your own needs, your own interests, your own experiences from that of your son or daughter. Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah, I'm a really good sports parent. Okay. Well, we're going to see about that, Mom.
Yeah. So as we kind of start to wrap up here, one last question. What do you think the result of these kids being on devices nonstop, how does that interfere with everything we've talked about?
Boy, what an important question. The electronic devices that give you an answer to a question pretty much immediately, or at least tease you about an answer to a question immediately, they erode the very important process of learning to be patient and wait for something. Well, I got a question, or I want to talk to somebody. Okay, I'm going to just hit my device and do it, as opposed to I'm going to have to wait an hour, 2 hours, all day. When you and I were very young, if you wanted to communicate with somebody on the other side of the country, well, you could pay a high price for a long distance phone call, or you could write a letter by hand, fold it into an envelope, put a postage stamp on it, have the mailman pick it up, and you might get a reply to that letter in a week or 10 days. You had to wait for the response from a friend that had moved away, or a cousin that lived in another part of the country, or if you were applying to a summer school, you applied through mail and you had to send it off by a deadline and you would wait 2 weeks, 3 weeks. The ability to be patient is very valuable. Electronic media and social media have really eroded the basic quality of patience in a lot of young people. So parents, beware. Limit screen time. I don't think any kid should have a full-fledged cell phone until they're in high school, at the minimum. You know, you can have a flip phone in case you got to call mom and dad in the case of an emergency. That's okay. It's just a communication device, but as something that you're going to be constantly going to in order to get an immediate gratification, bad idea.
Yeah. It leads to that entitlement of I want it right now. And that does not play out very well in the world of sports because
You got to be patient. You're going to have to go to the weight room 3 times a week for 6 months at a minimum. if you want to experience anything meaningful. It's not immediate. We need to be patient. That's just one of the aspects of the physical bodies that we inhabit and the physical universe that we live in.
Well, Dr. Z, I sure appreciate you coming on. I think I could talk to you for a couple more hours, so we might have to do this again down the road. I really, really enjoyed it. For the listeners, tell us, I think you can get the book about anywhere, but tell us where the best place to buy the book is. And if anybody wants to get a hold of you, speaking engagements or otherwise, how do they find you?
Okay. The Confident Mind book is, like to say, Scott, available pretty much everywhere. Amazon, Barnes & Noble's. All those outlets. Anybody who wants to reach me for individual consultation or, as you've mentioned, speaking engagements, I've done hundreds of them over the years. Very, very simple. nate.zinser@gmail.com. It couldn't be easier. I do not have a complicated web address. It has been a pleasure fielding your questions. It's a pleasure working with somebody who is so dialed into the reality of what sports can do and what we need to do to keep making the sport experience meaningful and productive for young kids. That's noble work. So I'm delighted to support you in any way I can. I'd love to come back on this show.
Great. And I like I said, your book has been a model for me in my business, and I will continue to get it out to as many people as I can. So
much appreciated.
Dr. Z, thank you again. Really appreciate your time, and we will do this again for sure. Have a great day.
You too. Best.
All right. Thank you for joining Building the Athlete today. What a great guest. And Dr. Nate Zinser, author of The Confident Mind, former director of performance at West Point Academy. Great information for athletes, parents, and coaches. So again, wanted to thank Dr. Z for being on the show. We will definitely be having him back. For a limited time only for our listeners, we are going to be giving away a free consultation with one of our coaching staff. So that can be used to talk about recruiting, strength and conditioning, speed development, diet, nutrition, anything related to sports performance. Our coaches can guide you through what the next steps are to get into our online program. This is normally a $200 value, and we are giving that away for free. Just go to bensonsportstraining.com. There'll be a pop-up screen. Fill out your information, and we will contact you to set up a time for that consultation call. Again, that's a $200 value. We are giving it away for free. If you like today's show, hit us up on our social media, Benson Sports Training, Facebook, Instagram. You can catch a video version of all of our podcasts on our YouTube channel, and our website is bensonsportstraining.com. Thanks for being with us today. We will talk to you soon.
BBS Radio TV. If it's not mainstream, it's on BBS Radio TV, a place for answers.